Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome, welcome, welcome to this show, the first day of December 2021, and the broadcast that you have tuned in is called, Is This the Church? And the host is Sister AJ. Well, we are set to go. We're ready to get things started here. We are anticipating having a great day at nitpicking this series by Dallas Jenkins, and it's been a great series to take apart and to just show why it is such a dangerous series to have Christians look at, to have Christians support this series, because it is complete rubbish, complete and utter rubbish. Before we get into today's show, let me just remind you that we're all praying for Brother Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris lives in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina. He has bone cancer. And we spoke last night, and we were talking, and because he went to the doctor on Wednesday to find out exactly what it was that they were going to be doing. He explained the procedure to me. and he's in for a long and tough road ahead. So, he is coveting our prayers, and we have promised to cover him in prayer and to bring his need before the Lord. His need is our need. Why is that? Well, because we're one big body. It's called the church, the body of Christ. And when one member hurts, we all hurt. And when one member rejoices and has a glorious achievement in their life, we too rejoice because it is one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's continue to pray for Brother Kevin. Let's continue to believe God for the impossible. Also, there's a gentleman by the name of John Hart. John Hart had emergency appendicitis, and this is interesting. He lives where I live, and so when his appendix erupted, when his appendix just blew up and the poison was coursing through his body, it happened at 9 p.m. when suddenly this burst in his, you know what the appendix is. This is right there by the abdomen, right? Just burst. So his family calls the ambulance. Well, they say we can't send an ambulance because we have no ambulances available. Well, really, why don't you have any ambulance available? Well, we're dealing with a COVID surge. Okay. So that happened at 9 p.m., finally, the EMS gets to him at 9 in the morning. Why they waited that long is beyond me. Don't they have cars? I say to myself, don't people have cars? Couldn't they put somebody in the car and just have driven him to the hospital? Well, the ambulance comes in the morning. In the morning at 9, 10 o'clock. Then the EMS tell him, they take him to the Little Falls Hospital here in Little Falls, New York, and there's no room because of COVID. Well, they start calling hospitals in the area. They call 27 hospitals, and there were no hospitals available. You know where they wind up taking this guy who had a busted appendicitis? You know where they took him? They had to take him to Poughkeepsie, New York. That's 3 hours away from here. 3 hours away. 3 hours away. Then when he got there, the doctor who was going to treat him in the emergency room said, well, I have to run a series of tests to see what is it you got. So it was another 2 hours. While that's going on, they're prepping him for the operating room. Somebody comes in with a bigger problem. And so they bump him and they put that other person in the operating room. And he's got to wait another 3 hours. And finally, the poor guy, they did laser surgery. They took out the appendix. I got to tell you, America's become a third world nation. Our medicine is third world nation. We used to be the envy of the world. People would come here from all over the world to visit our hospitals and our doctors and our specialists. Listen, I don't know how this guy made it because appendicitis is extremely painful. Extremely. Well, he's resting home. He's at home resting now. He's at home. Please keep John Hart in prayer. He's my age. He's in his 60s. Keep him in prayer. If it was me, I would have said, come take me, Lord Jesus. I had enough. But let's continue to pray for our country. Let's continue to pray for Kevin Morris, John Hart. Let's just continue to pray. My precious brothers and sisters, we live in a world where everything is upside down. In addition to that, if you were looking for Sister Marie yesterday, if you were looking for a show, remember that we have changed her show to Thursdays. And it works for her. It works for me. And so she's going to be on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And we have another doozy of a show waiting for you tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
Compared to John Hart, I'm doing fabulous.
Yeah, that's horrible, but you're right. This country is becoming were definitely more socialistic in its approach to health care, you know, where it's very difficult to get what you need when you need it.
Yeah, I mean, they keep saying that there is a surge, right? There's a surge in cases and blah blah blah. I had a friend who lives in Queens, New York, and he went to go visit his wife's family in Tennessee. They took a flight. This was 2 weeks ago. They took a flight to Tennessee, and while he was in Tennessee, he got COVID. So they quarantined him and his wife. He was in a hotel for 10. Now, mind you, he wasn't financially planning to stay in a hotel. He was financially planning to stay with his in-laws for 10 days.
Right, right.
So he got COVID, and so he had to go get a hotel room so him and his wife can be quarantined. Okay. So after the 10-day quarantine, he flies back into New York, and he hears COVID this, COVID that. So he goes to the hospital. He says, I got to tell you, they're lying to us because the hospital was empty.
Yep, I've been hearing that too.
There's nothing going on.
Right.
So I don't know why they took this guy down to Poughkeepsie, New York. Now, of course, up here they're claiming that, you know, the hospitals are full, and we're talking about upstate New York. I do know that there's an elderly couple that lives on Elm Street. Elm Street here in my little town of Dodgeville, New York, it has a dead-end road. On that street, Elm Street, a wife died of COVID in the house. 4 hours later, her husband died. And, you know, when something like that happens in a little town, everybody knows about it because, you know,
right. This
is Gossip City. You know, I mean, you just have to, you know, it's 5 minutes to drive through Dodgeville.
Don't take long for word to travel.
Right, right, right. So I do know that there was an elderly couple that died of COVID in their house.
Uh-huh.
But, and already my governor, Governor Hochul, the one who said that she has apostles and the apostles are those who push the vaccine.
Yeah, Cruella DeVille.
Exactly. Well, she's ready to shut down everything already. But there's nothing.
Right.
I have people telling me we don't see it.
Uh-huh. And didn't she
so I don't
suspend,
know what's going on.
Elective surgeries, which their definition of elective surgery isn't like a facelift or something. It's more like if your doctor says you need a certain surgery for a certain purpose, whether it's life-saving or not, if you elect to go along with the doctor's recommendation, that's elective surgery to them now.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's
so
that's
it's getting crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I just shared that little story because, you know, I would have said, "Put me out my misery." Yeah, I've seen people with appendicitis,
yeah,
and they are writhing in pain.
Joke.
They are writhing in pain.
How toxic it is when it bursts. I mean, it could poison you. It's, you know, it's
sure.
Like gangrene to the body. So
sure,
thank
absolutely.
God that he was able to survive that ordeal.
I would have died. I would have said, Jesus, come and get me. I would have kissed my wife goodbye. I would have kissed my children goodbye. And I would have said, Jesus, come now, Lord Jesus. Swing low, sweet chariot. Swing low.
Right. Wow.
And I still don't understand why, if the thing burst at 9 o'clock, and they called the emergency, the EMS, and they didn't come, why did they have to wait till 9 o'clock in the morning for? I would have just put the person in the car and driven to
the
hospital myself.
But then again, you said they had to call all those hospitals, so it's possible that if John's family had done that, they'd have been driving all over looking for a place anyhow.
That's true. But I tell you, this is weird. This is weird stuff.
Yes, it is. Demonic stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah. And right now, you know, we have Delta, and now they put on top
the
of
Omicron.
That Omicron. Yeah, so you're saying, my goodness, what's going on? Before
and
you know
just,
it.
And I just saw a thing that came across my news feed that said that Omicron is now in America. They had a case in California. That was
no
just while I was listening to the theme song, but you already knew that was going to happen. As soon as they announced that it was out there, you knew it was only a matter of time.
Sure, because that's the whole plan. The whole plan is to scare you to death, right?
Right.
I mean, the whole plan is to tell you you're staying inside this winter. And for me, listen.
Yeah, they're about to cancel Christmas.
Right, for me, that's listen, I don't have a problem staying inside.
That's a normal life.
My kids will be screaming and kicking and because they want to go to McDonald's, they want to go to Applebee's, they want to go here, they want to go there.
Right.
Me, I just say I love it because I don't have to spend any money.
Right, exactly.
Right, so I love shutdowns. I love those things. They helped me out a great deal, but not the teenagers. You know, and the thing was, when I was growing up, I had a slingshot. I had a bag of marbles.
Marbles.
Yeah,
maybe
I had
some board games that you played with your
friends
or family.
Right. These kids have a whole room stacked to the ceiling with things, games. All kinds of stuff, and they say, I'm bored. I'm bored. What? When I was growing up, I just had a slingshot. That's all I had.
You had to be creative because a lot of stuff you had to make up as you went along playing.
Right. And, you know, I read a Spider-Man comic book, then my friend said, let me read it, and it just went down the line, and then somebody had an Archie comic, and you were waiting to get it, you know, so you can read it, and you just shared. That's what you did. That was nothing else. How many times can you go to the same swimming hole? How many times can you go up to Blue Mountain? You know, how many, I mean, come on, it's... You know, you've been there, you've done that. But that's what you have to, like you said, you have to be creative.
Right.
Have to be creative. But today, we're bored, Daddy. Daddy, we're bored. Take us to the mall. Take us here. Take us there. It's crazy.
Yes,
it is. Well, I see your friend Kanye's back in the news.
Yes, indeed. And he's back to doing those church services, but he's not traveling around anymore. And he's done a few of them starting last month. And the audio that I sent you is a clip from one that he did just before Thanksgiving on the 21st, where he does this prayer. This Thanksgiving quote-unquote prayer, and I wanted to see what you thought about this prayer, and also just so you could see what his new church service looks like, because he's not traveling around before, like I said. Now, this one is inside of some sort of warehouse building, and it may have been in the same location that he did the Marilyn Manson thing with, but that one was on top of the roof or something like that. So
that's
audio number one before we got started with Dallas and our nitpicking exercise. I wanted to see what you thought about this prayer, I guess that's what they call it.
Okay. Well, the other thing I saw was that he was lamenting the fact that how would I say this? He's lamenting the fact that he got involved with Jesus and the church thing, because he says that's what drove the wedge.
You'll hear that in this audio. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's exactly what that is.
All right. Well, let's check it out. That is one nutty guy, boy, that Kanye West. Well, he's got a new name now. I keep forgetting he's got a new name. Ye.
Yeah, it's called Ye.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Watch live TV.
Okay, it's got a little commercial in there.
All right.
Another commercial. Boy, they load up these commercials.
They sure do. And you can't click off of them now like you used to.
Yep. All right. Wow, this is a dark place.
Uh-huh.
Here it is.
Boom, boom, boom. West Side. Kanye West. Conway West Side. You never noticed that, did you? Hello, my name is Jay. And this is my super, 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 super long Thanksgiving prayer. On this Thanksgiving, I'm so thankful for family, my blood family, my fans, and our haters. We love you, too. On Thanksgiving and on Christmas morning, not the night before or the day, just the morning. We're thankful for our current civilization of 8 billion people, our ancestors, and our children. I'm writing this prayer on my way back from taking my mini-me to his first football game. Tank got to play catch with Tom Brady before the game. This is a God's dream. My mini-me is a mix of two of my favorite things, me and my wife's face. All I think about every day is how I get my family back together and how I heal the pain that I've caused. I take accountability for my actions. New word alert, misaction. The one thing that all my successes and failures have in common is me. Let's start with A, alcohol. I would drink to take the stress away, to knock the edge off. Drinking affected my health and the health of people around me because I already had a hair-trigger temper, and this just heightened it. B, episodes. I went into a manic episode in 2016, and I was placed under heavy medication. Since then, I went on and off the medication, which left me susceptible to other episodes, which my wife and family and fans have had to endure. Ego. My ego has a...
Well, he's saying all of that.
Yeah.
Right? Kim Kardashian, his former wife, is out with that kid from Saturday Night Live. And they're just dancing the night away.
Yeah, Kim has moved on, apparently.
She's moved on, so this guy's going to start drinking again.
And that in the back, that singing you hear in the background for our audience is his choir, but he also has children in a little group of children, I guess his children's choir, and they're singing along with the adults. And he's got them, and it's completely dark, like Bro says, but except one beam of sunlight coming through a hole or a skylight in the roof. And then it's dark all around. I think he's got an audience in there, but all you can see is shadows. And they're in the choirs are in like triangular formations, and so they're all in black robes this time, because remember with the Marilyn Manson when they were in white, but in here they're in the dark and they're dressed in black with the hooded robes and stuff like that on to include the children. So it's weird. I just wanted to say that to let people know what the visuals look like.
Sure. He's in it looks like a dungeon. These guys look like monks. You know, the way the monks used to wear dress in the Middle Ages?
Yes.
All in black with the hoods on. Monks/Jesuits. slash
you may as well have some Gregorian chanting going on because that's how they look.
Right. So, no, this is, you know, and then I guess his prayer is like a Gettysburg Address. I mean, it just keeps going. But the problem is, you know, Mother Kim, unlike Mother Mary, Mother Kim ain't listening to Jack. Mother Kim is dancing the night away. Yep.
Yes, she is.
So I think the apology is too late. I just think, you know, now you never know, you know, you never know with couples, but I just think it's too little too late.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's listen.
Tendency to go past the threshold of being motivating and entertaining to just being overbearing. There are ways to show confidence without arrogance. Temper. Now, I know none of y'all would ever picture this, but sometimes I scream. And that screaming might have helped me tell off everyone who doubted me in music, but that screaming did not help me keep my family together. Religion. Self-righteous Christian behavior. When I got saved, it did not immediately make me a better person. It made me a self-righteous Christian. Mix that with being rich, famous, and very, 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 very attractive, and you got a Molotov cocktail ready to be thrown through the window of anyone who ever disagreed with me. I was arrogant with my Jesus, like I had just got me some Jesus at the Gucci store with a stimulus check. Let's go with politics here.
Yeah, this poor guy, he needs a rubber room and a straight jacket. and he needs an injection that's going to put him to sleep because his brain is fried.
Right. I mean, what is that? So he regrets being a Christian, and I use that in air quotes because we have discussed this at length, and I'm not convinced that was ever genuine. But is that the message that he's saying, that the Jesus thing didn't work out, plus it ruined my family?
Hey, the guy's brain is fried. Who knows what he means? All I know, all of that is just gibberish. All of it is gibberish. It makes no sense. And, you know, and he's so, you know, and he goes very, 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 very. I thought he was going to say stupid. I thought he was going to say stupid, but he said very attractive. I said, okay, so you're back to square one. You're prideful. Don't even pray.
Yeah,
and by the way, who's he talking to? And this is supposed to be a prayer to God. Not to us.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, but it seems more like an ode or a plea to Kim Kardashian, especially as you get further along with it.
Right, right. Well, listen, the great scene in the Jack Nicholson movie where the lady knocks on the door and he goes tells her, you know, go sell crazy somewhere else. That's what Kim is telling him. I had enough of crazy. You know, that's it. Look, anyone who has, and I don't follow the Kardashians,
but
you just can't help but notice that they're changing husbands and boyfriends every other week. So Kanye, you know, Kanye was her boyfriend for a while or her husband, whatever. But it doesn't last long with these women. It doesn't,
right.
And these, you know, and all of these Kardashians, they've all had multiple boyfriends, husbands, partners. It's like a merry-go-round, you know? People get on board, they go around for the 3-minute ride, the ride comes to a stop, they get off, a new group, you know, comes back. It's crazy with these people.
What that you guys call them back in the day, bicycle women?
That's it. That's it. I mean, look, you know, on the Hispanic side, I mean, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez is pretty much like that because she was with Alex Rodriguez, the former baseball player. They were up and down everywhere, Alex and Jenny, blah, 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 blah. And they were going to buy the Mets. They were gonna put their money together to buy them. And then before you know it, Jenny.
Ben Affleck.
She's with Ben Affleck. And you know, and I'm saying, this world is crazy.
Yes, it is.
And these are supposed to be, you know, movie stars, so-called role models, blah, blah. No, I wouldn't want a daughter that's a role model like that. Right? I mean,
no.
This is some nasty stuff. These are nasty people. And, you know, A-Rod is out swinging, and Ben Affleck is out swinging, that's nasty stuff.
It is.
And you say to yourself,
you know, to destroy everything that God put in place and any values based on what he established, that's what is being attacked here. And little girls are shown this so they can aspire to, this is how you make it. This is how you get famous. Don't have to have any real talent or skill or abilities. Just use your what people used to call feminine wiles. I'll put it like that.
Right. But you know that kid Pete Davidson, the kid that was with what's her name, Kim. Now, he was with another movie star. That kid gets around. He's dating another movie star, and that's one goofy, stupid, creepy looking kid. But he gets around.
They say he's got a drug problem, but so it doesn't look like Kim makes the best choices if she chose him after dealing with Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, look, what can you say about a whole group of women in one family that I'm just shocked that they haven't changed husbands, because that's all they need to do next is just say, okay, I had him for 2 years. You can have him. Let me have your husband, the one you have for 2 years. I mean, that'll probably, you know, and then you got Caitlyn Jenner there in the middle.
Yeah, they just completely turned him into a woman.
Yeah, sure. Wow. And speaking of crazy, let's finish this.
Good Lord, my wife did not like me wearing the red hat. Being a good wife, she just wanted to protect me and our family. I made me and our family a target by not aligning with Hollywood's political stance, and that was hard for our marriage. Then I ran for president without proper preparation and no allies on either side. I embarrassed my wife in the way that I presented information about our family during the one and, thank God, only press conference. All my dad had to say afterwards was, write your speech next time, son. F is for finances. I spent money like crazy. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've done, and I've done a lot of crazy things. As the priest of my home, I must watch my own money and secure our finances. This is America, so people don't consider stealing to be stealing. They just chalk it up to greed, consumerism, and capitalism. I've let people use me. I've had giant entourages, people around me just to make me feel good about myself. I've had to learn that I had to take accountability. We always judge and tell other people what they should do, but we can only take accountability for ourselves and our children. This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for the family that my wife has given me. I'm thankful for the life that God has given me. And I'm thankful for your time, attention, and patience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. What rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's more about, it seems like he was trying to take account, but then make excuses at the same time. So I don't know what to think. I still have not changed what I thought a couple years ago with Kanye.
Right, right. Here's the thing. If you're going to say a prayer, why don't you do like Hannah? Why don't you just go and talk between you and
Silent.
The Lord? Right? Why do I have to hear your stupid prayer? I mean, it was stupid. plain stupid.
Kim Kardashian did a prayer to God.
Right. And when she got the prayer, when he sent it to her, she was with Pete. She didn't have time to hear it.
More than likely.
Right. Right. She didn't have time to hear it.
And it doesn't seem to fit the model that Jesus gave to the disciples in how they should pray.
Listen, this is a joke. It's complete rubbish. Listen, if his psychiatrist, if his shrink was listening to that prayer, his shrink would be telling his secretary, please bring me 2 aspirins. Because
and block off a couple of hours for next week.
Exactly. Listen, we know these people spend money like water. We know that. We know that all these people have to have somebody stroking their egos. We know that they're surrounded by yes people, people who can't. He says, I should have done better. No, you should have listened to the people who are advising you not to do stupid things. And the church is filled with people like that. The church is filled with people that you give them advice and, they go ahead and do what they want to do. And the people I'm talking about don't have any money. They don't have an entourage. They just have a sin nature.
Right. We're hard-headed.
Right? And you're hard-headed people. That's it. Speaking of hard-headed people who now find themselves in the great beyond, Marcus Lamb from the Daystar Television, he croaked.
Yesterday.
He croaked.
I was like, oh, my.
Another Word of Faith guy. Another Word of Faith guy, right? And that's it. Now Joni. Joni can find herself a Kanye now because she's single.
I hope not, but I guess she's going to be running the Daystar Empire now.
Yeah, either that or she'll probably sell it. She'll Yeah, I think what she'll do is she'll take the money and run. I think that's what she'll do.
Maybe so.
Yep, because her husband was the sleazy con man. Her husband was the used car salesman. She was just there every day to make sure he didn't cheat on her. That was her role.
That didn't work.
Right. Absolutely. But and this guy cheated. And he had a lot of accomplices helping him cheat and keep the secret away from Joni. There was a lot of people there helping him because there's no way that you could do what he did right there underneath her nose there at the Daystar Network with a secretary and him not have help.
Without a bunch of people covering it up for him.
Exactly. So Joni's in charge now. And, goodbye, Marcus. Meet your maker now. all the people that you conned, or, you know, all the little old widows he robbed money from.
Yes, which is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You can only hope that he had time to repent of those things, but we don't know.
Yep, yep.
Only
yep.
God knows at this point.
Yep. Now, I'm not saying, he, God wouldn't give him an opportunity to repent, but I believe that people like Marcus and others, they are so damaged. Their conscience is so seared. You can't do what these people do day in and day out.
No, you can't. You can't.
And not have your conscience seared. You just, I would watch
That's
him,
true.
And on a drop of a dime, that guy can squeeze out tears. I feel the presence of the Lord right now.
Right.
Right? And how old was he? 60 what? 62, 64?
In his 60s. Somewhere
there you go.
In there. His
right.
Early to mid-60s.
Right. So he's my age. So, am I going to trade success for 60 years of life to then burning in hell for all eternity? What a stupid bargain he made. Stupid.
Exactly.
Because these guys think they're going to live forever. Copeland thinks he's going to live to be 120.
Yeah, that's what Copeland says, but I don't see it happening. God knows, but I don't think it's going to happen. But you're right. These guys are very arrogant.
Very arrogant. Very arrogant. And, whatever my opinion is of COVID, for me to, here's the thing. I have an opinion about COVID. I'm sure you have your opinion about COVID. But I cannot express God's opinion on COVID. Why? Because I haven't had a conversation with him about it.
Right.
God hasn't told me anything about COVID, what he feels about it. I mean, I haven't heard him tell me anything.
Nope.
Right? So now for you to go on the air and say, God says this about it, shut up. And then, look.
Well, you would think God would have warned him that he was going to catch it.
Exactly. And then his son Jonathan says, according to the quote, this was an attack from the enemy. Well, wait a minute. Isn't he greater that is in you than he that is in the world? So what happened? What happened? This is an attack from the enemy. What happened? I mean, doesn't your father serve Jesus? So,
yes.
Again,
So they claim.
Right, of course. And when they say the enemy, they're on the enemy's side. They're pitching for the enemy's
so why
team.
Why would he attack? What Jesus said, a house divided against itself would not stand. So why would the devil attack his own minions? Unless
there
he's
you
done
go.
With them. Sometime that happens.
Right. Right. It could be, one, that either Satan is done with them, or two, it was God's judgment. Right?
Right.
So I would prefer to think it's God's judgment. That's that's just me. And now, again, I haven't talked to God. He hasn't texted me. God does not text. I didn't hear the Holy Spirit whisper anything in my ear. This is just my opinion. That's why I'm making the disclaimer. What I think is he was judged of God. But, like you said, the devil's not taking him out. Why wouldn't the devil take him out? Because he was a useful idiot to the devil.
Yes.
He was very useful to Satan. It's highly unlikely that the devil took him out because he was very useful to him.
Right, and leading people away from the Lord.
Sure, they have a false
away
gospel.
If they're not safe, right.
Absolutely. And the home, brothers and sisters, how we love Israel. Oh, how we love Israel. Okay, bro. Okay.
How about obeying the God of Israel? How about that?
Sure.
Let's start there.
Please. So good. I mean, but listen. As soon as one leaves, another youthful idiot is put. They come in droves. You know, they're just. And I know the kids are going to tell mama, oh, let's hold on to this empire. Let's do. But we know this from experience. I'll give you a few examples. Richard Roberts was not Oral Roberts.
Right.
Right? Okay. Kenneth Hagin's son, who took over when his dad... Now, nobody wants to hear that joker. Nobody's calling that guy to come and preach at that church. That guy will put you to sleep. In fact, if your appendix breaks and you need anesthesia, put in one of his tapes and you'll be knocked out. Right? So Fred Price Jr., is he his daddy? No. Paula White's son, Bradley, is he his mama? No. Marilyn Hickey's daughter. Have you ever seen Marilyn Hickey's daughter?
Not in years.
Her name is Sarah. Another
Marilyn
wannabe.
Marilyn was still doing the show the last time I watched it.
Yeah. It was called Marilyn and Sarah. I guess she had to drop Sarah because Sarah wouldn't draw flies. Anytime the second generation takes over, it dies. Matt Crouch, the supposed son of Paul Crouch, and we're using air quotes, he basically started selling everything off. He just started selling, assets.
He greatly scaled the things down in the TV empire.
Right. And that's all cash. That's all cash. And who do you think is living it up with that cash? Who do you think's doing that? Him.
Matt and his wife. About the only one that I could say outclassed their predecessor would probably be Joel Osteen. But I don't think his son's going to do better than him, though.
Right. Although in his mind, Jonathan thinks he is because God's taking pictures of him. And showing them to the angels.
Showing them off to the angels. Right.
Please. Oh, my goodness.
But Joel is about the only one that
You are correct. He's the rare exception. The rare one. Because everyone else has flopped. Or just maintained. You know, why do you think Jimmy doesn't let his son take over? Jimmy Swaggart. Why? It'll go downhill. You put him and Gabriel running the thing together, it'll still go downhill. Mm-hmm. So, no, this is, that's it. It's another one bites the dust, but, you know, they're just popping up left and right. And, they are relentless in scamming God's people. So,
absolutely.
Now, talking about another exception, Dallas Jenkins seems to be, it's a different generation, too, and a different medium. Book writing and movie directing is two different mediums.
Right.
So Dallas Jenkins now seems to be a little bit more famous than his dad. But that's because movie directing gives you more exposure.
It further reach than books. The Left that's Behind correct. Was pop series, and even the movies were more popular within a certain group of people. But Dallas seems to have reached far beyond just the evangelical community.
Right. So we're set today. Poor Kanye.
Right.
He needs to really, really pray, and not to Mother Kim, and not to Mother Teresa, but to Jesus.
Absolutely.
So that's just sad. It's just pitifully sad. All right, set this up for us.
Right. Well, as you know, we've been reviewing The Chosen and nitpicking, and, you know, some people probably say, well, it doesn't take all that. It's just TV, and, you know, you're being too, you're Pharisees or whatever. But we've been going through this because to try to see if it lines up with the Jesus that's presented in the gospel, because as you said earlier, it's far-reaching, it's dangerous because it's presenting, in my opinion so far, a different Jesus and a different gospel. It's not telling it the way it is in the scriptures. And you could tinker around with a lot of things, Batman, Superman, whomever, but you don't tinker around with the Lord Jesus and the story of his time on earth, his earthly ministry, and why he came to us in the first place in the form of a man. So last week we've gone through one season, and then we've started looking at season two. And last week we started with the second episode of season two called I Saw You. And finally we're getting a couple more disciples to trickle in. And this time it's Nathaniel and Philip that are added to the group.
Okay.
And we left off at the 28-minute mark last time. Anything you want to add before we get started with this?
No, I just want to get into it because, again, we keep looking at these episodes, and they go from bad to worse. And, you know, nothing – the only thing that he has correct is the names of the people, like Jesus and Bartholomew and Matthew. He's got the names right. He's got the geographical location right, which is the Holy Land. But the stories and the chronology and the main thrust of each, it's all off, completely, so damning off. We have to put it in that context because this is not, the Bible is not, the writings of Hans Christian Andersen, stories for children, fairy tales. No. The Bible is the plan of salvation. It's God's story of how he redeems man through Jesus Christ. And when you mess with it, my goodness.
Eternal consequences both for the people who love this show and take it a little bit more literal than they should, and it's damnable for Dallas. You know, I don't believe the Lord takes kindly to these distortions of his character and his nature.
Listen, the other day you played an audio by Miles Monroe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, what's the difference between what Dallas is doing and what Miles did? And my answer would be none. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing.
Basically downplaying and deconstructing the gospel and making it about something else.
Right.
Because that's what Miles was doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Same thing. So, when you look at the people that he's partnered with the Mormons, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The Mormons believe that they're little gods.
Yes,
that's what they believe. You see, Mormon theology, okay. Their God, first of all, their God started out as a man. Then he evolved into godhood. And that's why they teach that God is telling them they can do the same thing. They're starting out as men, but they will evolve into gods. And Dallas says, they're my brothers.
Polytheists? Yeah,
they're polytheistic. They're polytheistic, where the Bible teaches that we're to be monotheistic, one God.
Uh-huh.
They're many gods. So, Dallas, what are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? That we just have some little, but they're my brothers in Christ. What?
We just, the differences are minor differences. No, they're serious differences.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he sold out. The bottom line is he sold out. He wanted so bad to have his pet project out there that he just bargained. He just made a deal with the devil. I'm sorry. That's it. That's it. That's it. And he says, from the last, when you played the interview, I don't like it I'll come out swinging when they come and attack my friends. Well, you're supposed to be defending Jesus. You're supposed to be defending Jesus.
It's better to be an enemy of man than an enemy of God, that's for sure.
Correct. All right, so we're going to start it at what mark again?
We stopped it at the 28-minute mark last week.
Okay. I'll probably take it back to 24 minutes.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, now I have here 1 hour. I have it at the 1 hour, 9-minute mark. Why are we there? Okay.
Well, sometimes when I send it to you, that might be where it was when I watched it. For some reason, it doesn't clear it. But we stopped at the 28-minute mark last week.
All right, so let me get it back. All right. Okay, here we go. Starting at 24.
Okay.
Who are you? You're new at this. I get it. Once you followed your rabbi for long enough, you won't even blink when a strange man such as myself walks out of the woods with a message he can only give to Jesus directly.
Yeah, we are pretty new. That's what makes us dumb.
We can't let you see the rabbi without knowing your business.
I can't say.
If you want to send me away, fine. Say hello to my friend Andrew for me, though.
What do you think? I don't know. Bring him in, I guess. Let Jesus figure it out.
Something's not sitting right with Simon.
And who has friends? Philip! Hey! There he is!
Wow! You smell terrible.
What did you expect, huh?
Come on! What are you doing here?
From Bethesda? You never mentioned a Philip when we were there.
You'll find this shocking, but I have a whole life that doesn't revolve around you.
No, I'm just asking about this kook.
He's not kook. You know, you could be a little less you all the time.
Fair enough.
You take it to him. Make nice.
Back 5 minutes. Philip. You'll never know when you get to sleep next. Or when you have clean water. Take advantage when you've got either one. Thank you.
Sounds like you're in a war out there with John the Baptizer.
No. War has rules.
What did you find?
Nothing suitable.
Of course you didn't find any. Where did you look?
To the east, 1 mile.
That's the ravine. Anything you'd find there would be...
wet. Yes, I discovered that.
But there was wood? It was wet. That's Matthew. He checks the ravines for wood. Probably fishes in the desert, too.
Good work, Matthew.
Thank you. Who are you?
I'm the guy who drives wood. Now, if only you had an arsenal of weapons, we could do it in the manner of Ezekiel.
How did Ezekiel draw his wood?
No, it's the prophecy against Gog and Magog.
And then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and make fires of the weapons and burn them.
Shields
and
bucklers. Bows and arrows. Clubs and spears. And they will make fires of them for 7 years, so that they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest.
For they will make their fires of the weapons. Shall we? Hey! Keep the fire going. Dry wood before or after you started following John? What's up with you and Simon?
He doesn't like me. He sees me as his enemy.
Why?
As a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's everyone's enemy. That doesn't shock you.
I was something else once too. Once you've met the Messiah, Am is all that matters. Next time he rides you, remind him that the people out there, they want to define us by our past, our sins.
Out there, where?
With the sleepers. But we're different, but awake.
I don't understand.
Well, you haven't felt any relief except with him, have you? Your rabbi?
No. I don't expect to.
How did you memorize prophecy? In Hebrew school, like all Jewish boys, didn't you?
I started, but then I skipped ahead.
Skipped ahead?
Never heard of anyone skipping ahead. What did they do that for?
I was sent to apprentice under a bookkeeper.
Were you that good with numbers or that bad with Torah?
I was proficient in both.
No, I'm kidding. How old when you skipped ahead?
Eight.
Eight?
I showed unusual promise.
I bet you did. How come you never circled back to Torah?
I was paraded before the magistrate. Rome offered me higher wages than the annual income of my father and three of his brothers combined. Bought my first house when I was 13.
Why did you need to buy a house?
My father
kicked you out. I don't blame him.
I thought you said
he's a man. He acted by man's standards. Everybody in your old life is playing a different game than you now. Do you get it?
No. Everyone speaks in riddles. I can understand esoteric ideas. They're not beyond me.
Of course not. You'll probably pick it up faster than the rest of us. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to sound like an oracle here. It's a force of habit. Spend all your time with a rogue preacher in the wilderness and you get to be a little obtuse. They're simple ideas for complicated people.
I just... In your obtuse language... Here's a circle. It represents everything in the world and all the people that have ever been. And that's me. That's how I feel.
Well said. Good for you. And yes, I've been living literally outside this circle with John the Outcast for a couple of years, so I can relate. You're fine, Matthew. Stick around. You're gonna be all right.
So what do you think so far?
Well, as far as when this, the first scene that you played there is Philip when he first wandered onto the camp, and which we know that Philip's calling didn't happen that way. But Peter and all the other guys are checking him out and questioning him and all this stuff, and you know, so there's that. Then Philip seems to take a liking to Matthew. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention that they also show Nathaniel / Bartholomew. I think they're one and the same. They remember at the beginning of the episode where he was an architect working on some construction project, and they had this the building collapsed, and he was ran off and all that. So that, and now they're showing him sloshing it away in a bar, getting drunk, and he's all depressed and stuff. But I wanted to get to what you think about the conversation between Philip and Matthew. A couple of things I just wrote down is that he was saying how Simon doesn't like, Matthew was saying how Simon doesn't like him because he was a tax collector. And then Philip says, am is all that matters now, which I guess the here and now, and people try to define you for your past, but now you're somebody different or something. And in, you know, the Bible does talk about being a new creature in Christ and that sort of thing, but I wrote it down because it can have a different meaning for it when certain people talk about that, because some people think that we're a new creature in Christ, but that our past is never a factor as far as walking forward in Christ. So I want to hear what you think about that. And also another small thing was, or two more small things, is how Philip referred to John the Baptist as a rogue preacher, which we know he was not, even though maybe the Pharisees thought of him that way, I don't know. And also, is there a Hebrew or Aramaic word for obtuse?
Yeah.
That word back then.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah, again, we know that none of this happened, right? So you can,
that's the first thing.
Right, if you and I and other critics were sitting in a viewing room and, you know, the lights came on and they had to put more film on the reel to have us watch, we would say, okay, we've had enough. Because what we've seen is rubbish. These conversations never happened. The fact that the building collapsed and he was outed and he's a failed architect, none of that ever happened.
Right.
You know, again, this is just continuing a pattern of making stuff up. We're not allowed to make stuff up. We're dealing with sacred history. Sacred meaning, you know.
Yeah.
If you and I decided, right? You and I are going to write a book, and what we're going to do first is we're going to put the crucifixion first, and then after the crucifixion, then the child Jesus is going to be born. What would happen to that book if we put things in that order? What would happen? They would take the manuscript and throw it in the garbage can right in front of our faces. Why? Well, because you can't put the birth of the child after the crucifixion. Because the question is, if the birth comes after the crucifixion, then who are you crucifying?
Right.
Because he hasn't been born yet.
Unless you're telling the story in reverse order or something, you show the crucifixion, but then you run it back to talk about before all. I mean, there's ways to tell a story like that, but I get what you're saying.
Right. In other words, the chronology, all of this chronology is just off. That's like taking my daughter is doing history of the world, and her mother's having her cut out little pictures, right? And she has a timeline, and she has to take all these pictures that come on a sheet of paper. She has to cut them out. They're all in square boxes. Then she has to look at the picture, look at the name in the picture, and then look at the timeline, and then paste it in its order.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is world history, Bible history, and it comes with a black and white timeline book. Now, her mother's grading her on the fact that she has to put everything in its chronological order. That's just like the Book of Daniel. In the Book of Daniel, Rome is the last empire, right? Babylon is the first empire, followed by the Medes and the Persians, followed by the Greeks. Now, if my daughter has Rome first and Babylon last, and the Greeks following Rome, and then the Medes, no, it's all wrong. Honey, you got to start over again. You didn't read it right. And it's the same thing with this guy. It's all scrambled. He's got all these Bible characters. They're coming in late. Mary Magdalene comes in very early. The disciples come in very late. What is this mess? What is the story about Matthew and that he had to leave the Torah school? Nobody leaves the Torah school. Nobody.
Right. Well,
you're
so
Jewish.
They discovered he was so gifted. Like today's, you know, you might identify children that are advanced as far as their intelligence, so you might skip a grade or two with them, so that he's overlaying that with Matthew's story, because remember, he's supposed to be on the spectrum, and they discovered he was good with numbers.
Yeah, but
they, as you said, they would never take him out of Torah school to go work for the Romans. I mean, that story doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't. It does. Look, it doesn't even make any sense. And not only that, if your son became a publican and you threw him out of the house because he became a publican, you're to blame because you took him out of Torah school and you put him with the Romans.
Right.
So you're the.
That's
do
right.
you see how the story doesn't make any sense? His father
mm-hmm.
and his mother want nothing to do with him because he's with the Romans. But who put him with the? According to this story, right? The parents took him out of Torah school. So you created your own Frankenstein, and now you don't want Frankenstein to be your son. But you made him into a Frankenstein.
Right.
You see how stupid
exactly.
this is? It's asinine. It's just a stupid story. It's just, you know, so
yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, and now this guy here, he's a Dr. Phil. He's a, you know, he's a psychiatrist among the 12, you know.
The counselor.
Right. So you have an ex-wrestler, an ex-AME fighter. Oh, my goodness, what a mess this is.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a mess. And he thinks this is a masterpiece. No. And you mean to tell me that a disciple is helping Matthew with his issues and Jesus hasn't helped him yet?
Jesus
was
is nowhere but to be found. But, you know,
yeah.
Matthew is counseling. Philip is counseling Matthew and trying to help him find his way and where he fits in with this group of guys and all this stuff. Jesus hasn't said a word.
Thinking Jesus is still, you know, trying to figure out
bed.
The story. Yeah, he's still trying to figure out the Good Samaritan story. He doesn't know if it's a Good Samaritan or a bad Samaritan. Oh, my goodness. What? And then his daddy says, I watched these episodes at least 20 times. 20 to get, you know, 20 times? Are you kidding me?
Well,
I'm watching
well,
it
I've
once and,
to
I'm, and I'm ready to vomit.
Well, I've had to watch them multiple times, but not quite 20, I don't think. And I'm only doing it for a reason.
And look. Entertainment is one thing. This thing is already boring. This thing, you know, this thing is out of steam, in my opinion. I mean, it's just out of steam. All right, let's listen.
He's having to drag out these parts because of that, probably.
I'm telling you, this is awful. This is awful. All right.
Universe.
Here is the Lord is your God. The Lord is one. Your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. Do not hide your face from me. Do you see me?
Turns a blade into a razor for logs. Protects your hands.
Thank you. I've never done manual labor before.
You must have worked pretty hard to avoid it. But that's behind you now, too. Got to lean into it. Let someone teach you a thing. Laugh at someone's jokes. And then tell jokes. Do you know any?
Any what?
Jokes. So, was it difficult to leave it all behind?
No, it should have been. I was comfortable. I had a dog.
Bold. I like it.
It was a source of amusement for others. My house was bought with blood money. My parents and I haven't spoken much in years. And numbers didn't make the world clear anymore.
You gave everything away to keep it.
But it's uncomfortable when nobody likes me.
If this rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, called you, it means you already have everything you need for right now. He'll give you the rest in time.
I just don't know what he sees in me. He's a religious teacher, and I know very little about religion.
From what I understand, Jesus doesn't love everything about religion.
Wow, they're throwing shade upon you and me. They just suddenly attacked us.
Religion.
That's right. You religious folk. You Pharisees.
Right.
Wow. Wow.
And before that, for our listeners, before this conversation, what you heard was Nathaniel again under a tree, praying and crying out to God. And setting his, he had some architectural drawings, and he took those out and set the fire to them. So that's what you were hearing there before. And then
right.
It went to Matthew and Dr. Phil.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing. The thing with Nathaniel and the architectural drawings, none of that happened. I hate to
Not
keep repeating
all.
Myself. None of that happened.
Right. It didn't. I mean, and what Dallas is doing here he does, he eventually he's going to quote this passage in John 1:48, where Jesus first meets Nathanael and calls him, and he was under the fig tree. But it doesn't say that Nathanael was depressed, because this is all Dallas's imaginings of his pre-encounter with Jesus thing before he met Jesus and was called. So that's what this is all about. But there's
right.
nothing to say in the scriptures that say Nathanael was depressed and having problems. And Jesus did mention him, seeing him under the fig tree, as in a supernatural type context, which Nathanael recognized. But he could have been under the tree eating some figs, and Dallas has got him in here crying and burning stuff, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
sure.
it just never happened. At least not according to scripture, and that's what we got to go by.
Right. 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 Wow. Here's more.
Matthew, what you think you know, it doesn't matter. Only that Jesus chose you. That's where your confidence comes from now.
I know he knows what he's doing. Wish I did.
Skip that at Hebrew school at 8. I think you'll catch on. Here's an easy one. If somebody asks you to tell a joke, tell them you have a vegetable joke. But it's corny.
Wow. Did Kanye write that? Did Kanye write that line?
I don't think so. I guess Philip is George Carlin as well, but George Carlin was funnier than this.
Right, right. So he's a psychiatrist and a comedian.
Yep, and
wow.
a stand-up comic.
Yeah, and he's got a thing wrapped around his head where he looks like one of the guys from Cheech and Chong. So if he pulls out his
Chong, Tommy Chong that wore the headband, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, pretty soon he's gonna put out a doobie and start smoking. I mean, if we're using our imagination, right? I mean,
right. Nothing is off the table when you let your imagination run wild.
Right. All right.
We'll work on it.
You?
No, I remember your face.
You were standing with Andrew the day I was baptized by John.
Ah.
How is my old cousin? I shouldn't call him old. We're the same age.
His reputation with Rome is down, but his spirits are up.
Sounds about right.
He sends me with a message.
Hmm.
Wants me to tell you something on my behalf.
That's good, because I have something to say to you, too.
It's a very short message. Only two words.
Mine is also short. Follow me.
I will.
So John thinks you're ready?
Yes. He spoke with someone.
Shall we?
John spoke to someone the last time he was in prison.
Someone?
A Pharisee. He had been troubled by a miracle he witnessed in the Red Quarters in Capernaum.
Ah, yes. I know this man.
You know him?
Yes. I might even call him a friend.
John told me to expect anything. To expect nothing, but I think he'd be troubled to know that you were friends with a Pharisee.
He'll get over it.
Then we received word of what you did in Cana. That was all John needed to hear. He sends his love.
And you?
Meager offering.
Hardly meager. You will be the most experienced of all my followers.
John is hardly standard procedure.
Even better.
If I may be so bold, what are your intentions here in Bashan?
Just passing through.
To Caesarea Philippi.
Caesarea for one night, and then we'll continue north into Syria.
Syria?
That's right.
I heard you were just in Samaria and now to Syria. You and John are really cut from the same cloth. If I didn't know any better, I'd say you each had a death wish.
I wouldn't exactly call it a wish.
But a what? A death what?
It's nothing. I'm still thinking through how to talk about it. That's why I was gone for a couple of days. A lot on my mind.
Yes. I can imagine. In Syria, will we go to Damascus? Antioch?
Not to the big cities, no. To the smaller places. I'll wake him later. You should get some sleep, Philip. We've got a long road ahead of us tomorrow. I'll tend the fire.
Yes, Rabbi. Rabbi. One last thing.
Yes.
If there's time, I have a friend in Caesarea who I haven't seen in quite some time.
Your friend lives in a Roman city?
He's an architect.
Ah.
If there's time, I'd love to...
Of course, of course.
Only if there's time.
Listen, if we don't make time for friends, we won't have any.
Good night.
Good night, Philip.
So what did you think of that exchange?
Well, completely a figment of Dallas's imagination, the first thing, because obviously the Bible, that it isn't how Philip was called. And by the way, John the Baptist didn't necessarily send him to Jesus with some sort of coded message. and during this conversation, you know, by the way, Jink and Jesus just wanders out of nowhere, and I guess he'd been gone for a couple of days agonizing over how to talk about his crucifixion that will eventually happen. But also, Philip, when they were discussing it, Philip asked Jink and Jesus if he had a death wish. And, I don't know why my mind went here, but I was like, Fred Price, anyone? Dallas better be careful. Because when Fred was saying stuff like that, we saw what happened to him shortly afterwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very bad terminology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's just horrible. You know, it's a line you don't. That line you don't want to cross. That line.
No, you don't.
Because then instead of saying Jesus, does Jesus have a wish list? A death wish? The question is, Dallas, do you have one?
Right.
Because he and his team
are the ones that wrote the script for this. So they had to have agreed that would be a part, that would be a line that would be used, that Jesus had a death wish. And like I said, my mind went back to Fred Price.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, this episode is just creeping along, but you know, in the meantime, while it's creeping along, he's poking the lion, you know.
Yes,
so let's, yeah, let's
the lion of Judah.
That's right. That's right.
Morning.
Good morning.
Did I sleep late?
The sun is hardly up.
Oh, my back.
It gets easier. A little. You get used to it.
Are you packing?
I am. I pack every morning now. I never know if it'll be somewhere for a night or a week.
That sounds hard. I didn't think about how this would really work.
I think everyone's struggling with that in some way.
How about you? Mary,
wasn't it exciting yesterday when the men began reciting prophecy?
And a little intimidating.
Yes. We need to catch up.
Okay. How? They can't feed.
I'll get you other reason, right?
Oh. Where would we get materials?
Leave it to me. I know who to ask.
I am thankful before you, living and enduring King. For you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Great is your faithfulness.
It's more than 2 days worth.
It's wet.
No, it's damp.
Good morning. Good
morning, boys. That stuff will smoke something terrible if you light it now, but by nightfall.
You did well.
I didn't do it.
Now then who?
Our young smart friend.
Thomas?
No, Matthew. Who's Thomas? Ah, I'm sorry, Thomas. I'm still learning everyone's names. It reminds me of a time with John.
Simon calls him Creepy John.
No, that's good. I like that. So, the flock was evading Roman patrols moving up and down the Jordan.
You were on the run?
One day, John started addressing us by name. Zechariah, Tobias, Michal. We all start looking around at each other like, who's he talking to? And then we realize we don't know each other's names. We'd been out there for months, and we only knew each other's nicknames or aliases.
How is John?
Same old John. He's proud of you. I can tell you that much. Like a father. I think it's nap time. Wake me if there's work to do, boys. And, think Matthew, if you see him.
John remembers me.
Ah, I thought that might be what you were doing.
Hiding?
No. Writing. Are you hiding?
Philip says I don't have to do that anymore.
Ah, new guy. I like him already.
Everybody does. He's like Simon, but not like Simon.
What are you writing?
Just taking notes on what I see. This. I'm used to writing daily now. Began as a chore, but it's become a habit.
I think prayer is like that. At first, anyway. And the way Rabbi taught me. Now I love it.
In the short time that I have followed, people have quarreled over things Jesus said, remembered things differently, and disputed his meaning. I think it's best we have a written record to refer back to.
Everything he says and does?
Yes.
It's not a good idea.
Why?
We have enemies. There are people trying to trap Jesus in his words. They could twist something he said to defame him. Have you thought about that?
They will find it easier to twist something he is reported to have said than if it is confirmed in writing.
That's not how the world works. People can twist words however they want.
But it's clearly written.
Yeah, I bet it's clear as the last time I saw you writing in your journal, spying on me for the Romans. And to think I came here to thank you.
People out there want to define all of us by our past. But we do things differently because of him.
For the record, it's a bad idea. Write that down. We head out in an hour. He's not wrong. Just be careful. Adios. Adios. Is my brother slowing you down back here?
Always.
Hey! You watch Simon and me in a foot race? We'll settle this once and for all.
Race yourself to the front. Big James is asking for a leaf on that cart.
Already? So we call him Big for a reason.
Yeah, that's why his shift is the longest. Come on, you're up.
I'll be up next, Andrew.
No, you don't need to.
I want to.
You shouldn't.
Let me tell you something. Some days I miss manual labor. Fewer questions, less speculation. Honest sweat.
Have to get honest, Andrew.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom.
You know, it's funny. I would have thought that the keeper of the shifts would have been Matthew's job, not yours.
Why is that?
He thinks in division, calculation, order.
Yeah, I've noticed. Speaking of Matthew, I wanted to tell you. He's writing down everything you do.
Of course he is.
And that's fine with you.
It is.
All right. Good to know.
You strike me as someone who acts on instinct, feeling.
Yeah, but I do think. I think all the time. That's what I was hoping to talk to you about.
You were?
Yeah, I've been thinking. The group is growing every day. And with greater numbers come more opinions and perspectives.
Sure.
We're all unified behind you.
You're all unified.
We all agree on you. But sometimes you're away, and during those times, we don't have your authority to defer to.
We have my instructions.
Yeah, we have a goal or instruction or someplace to go, but how we get there, how we achieve it,
Sometimes there's a lot of noise.
So what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting we formalize a structure.
For what?
For how decisions are made, how plans are formed, and what is the process for raising objections to those plans. When and how they are vocalized, and to whom. Such as how you sent little James and John ahead to Syria to prepare. We can schedule that in advance. Or, for instance, maybe all contrary ideas are rooted through Big James, filtered, and then brought to me for consideration. Just thinking out loud here.
Simon, I love how you are trying to make things better for the whole group. You could stand to be a little nicer sometimes, but you're a leader. You always have been, and always will be. I cherish that in you, and I will need it. I will need it in time. Every one of these people I have called for a reason. Each of them brings something unique and important to the whole. I want every voice heard and none silenced. Everyone can learn from each other.
Yes, but some people are troubled with tiny things and may slow us down.
I won't ask who you mean by that. But I will say, if someone is thinking about things you feel slow everyone down, maybe you need to slow down. One day, Simon, there will need to be more structure. And I see you playing a big part in it.
Out of all humility, Rabbi, why not now? Why not more structure today?
Because I am still here.
Yes, of course you're still here. Are you saying one day you won't be?
It's a conversation for another time. But we will talk about it. I think so.
Soon.
Ah, there's that word, soon. The most imprecise thing in the world. What is soon? A few hours? A few days? Years? 100 years? 1,000 years? Ask my father in heaven how long 1,000 years is. Then talk to me about soon.
Where are you going?
To relieve Andrew the cart.
But it's not your time.
Should I try to tell my mother at Cana? How much good did it do?
Mary.
So what do you think thus far?
Well, of course, more rubbish. You know, the first little scene with the two women that we know probably wouldn't have even been there, but now they're saying that Mary Magdalene is going to teach the younger lady how to read and the read, write, and learn prophecy. So I'm like, is that a feminist nod again?
Right.
Simon and Matthew disagreeing for it because Matthew is writing things down, and of course we know he, you know, Matthew's gospel, but I don't know if he would have been taking notes down this early, or, you know, he would go from recollection once he sat down to write it, I'm sure. And plus he apparently, from what I've been able to glean information I've been able to get, he used other references to write his gospel that some of them weren't written yet. and also through the scene with Jink and Jesus and Simon, I guess overall, I don't like how Dallas seems to make Jesus look unorganized and not structured and aimless, like there was no rhyme or reason to everything he did, even if it's something that's not easily understood by us or not recognized as structure. But it seems he's determined to make Jesus look like this kind of fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants type guy. So
right.
What would you say to all that, brother?
Well, like you said, I mean, this is the nitpicking hour. I can say amen to everything you said right there. And why would Matthew be writing a gospel when Matthew doesn't, look, according to this storyline, Matthew's a confused young man. He's getting some help from Dr. Nathaniel, right? He's getting some, So he's getting some help, but he's a confused young man, according to this storyline. Why would he be writing anything? Why? Secondly, we know based on scripture that Jesus kept teaching these people, this group of men, and they never got it.
Right.
He's teaching them, but they're dense. He says,
number of occasions, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know me, or you still don't understand these things. So he would say that to them often in the scriptures.
Often, and even till the very end, he was telling them this. He said, for that reason, I must go away, that you may have the other comforter. He was going to remind you of the things that I've said, and he will teach you and guide you to all truth, right? Okay, so now, Matthew is completely clueless. He wouldn't be writing a lick.
No.
Number two, we know based on just biblical study that the Gospel of Matthew was written sometime, maybe in the decade of the 50s, but more likely in the decade of the 60s. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're 30 years away from writing anything.
Right.
20 to 25 to 30 years away from writing anything. No. First of all, again, they're walking with Jesus. He's teaching them. They don't get it. He's telling them you need the Holy Spirit to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is God-inspired, Holy Ghost-inspired. Men sat down to write as the Spirit inspired them. If the Holy Spirit's not there yet, because Jesus is still there, they're not writing anything.
Right.
They're just not. So this fantasy account of, maybe that's the way Dallas got his inspiration, right? Hanging out with Cheech and Chan. That's how he got his inspiration. but that's not how the Holy Ghost inspired these writers.
Right. Matthew wasn't writing of his own volition when the Holy Spirit inspired him to sit down and write. That's when he did, along with the other guys that wrote Gospels.
Right. And like John. John wrote his gospel in the 90s as an old man. And that was inspired because of John's gospel combats Gnosticism. Gnosticism didn't appear until the 90s. So they just weren't writing to write. They wrote with a God-given purpose. Like Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, it goes back to Abraham, to David, right? I mean, 14 generations. Mm-hmm. And then another 14 generations until the Babylonian captivity. I mean, Matthew was writing to legitimize Christ's right to the Davidic throne. And this guy here, this clown in this story, he quit Torah school. How is he going to write that genealogy if you quit Torah school?
He can't.
You see what I'm
when
saying?
He was eight.
This is just stupid. It's just, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. None of this makes sense. It's just dragging on. And like you said, this Jesus is like he's in and out. Where is he going? Is he going? I mean, is he going to go get cannabis? What is this Jesus doing? I don't know who this Jesus is. I don't know.
Right.
He's a weirdo. I mean, the script is just, It doesn't make sense. The words, they don't make sense. Right? Like we said before, mm-hmm. here are Matthew's parents. They're mad at him because he became a publican. Well, we just found out right. that they're the ones who took him out of Torah school and then put him in the hands of the Romans. Right. What's going to happen if you take your children and you give them to, let's say, the mob? What's going to happen to your child? You take an 8-year-old boy.
They're going to become gangsters.
There you go. So you're mad at the little boy because he became a mobster when you're the one who handed him over to the mobster? This makes mm-hmm. no sense. It's like these stories, they're not even logical. They're not even logical.
Right. Maybe they're not supposed to appeal to logic. A lot of people are relating to this stuff, and, you know, you can tell from some of the comments, more on an emotional level, and when you're all in your emotions, logic a lot of times goes out the window.
Right. That's true, especially in the church. Especially in the church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when they start saying, listen, the Lord wants to give you a breakthrough, sow financial seeds, and you'll have your, you know.
Or more on encounters and experiences rather than what the word actually says. That's how
Correct.
A lot of churches, unfortunately, operate now.
Correct. 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 All right. Let's see.
Mama. Something wrong?
Nothing wrong. You wanted to ask the favor.
Of course.
Can I borrow a tablet?
Did Simon put you up to this?
No. I'm going to teach Raymond how to read. We want to study Torah.
That's what I want to do.
Well, they don't allow women in the Bet Midrash. How can I get to the scrolls?
I could copy them for you.
Yeah, these are really long.
Maybe we could ask Philip what is the most important part.
I'm pretty sure it's all important. We don't even know where to start.
I'll ask Philip.
Why Philip?
He's kind to me. Teddy is too.
Sorry, they're the exception, Matthew.
I'll talk to Philip.
Everything good up here?
Yes. We're going to study Torah.
Who? You and Mary?
And Matthew.
Matthew doesn't know anything about Torah.
How do you know what Matthew knows? That's the point.
And you don't read?
I was sent to Hebrew school like you, so that's exactly what I learned from Mary Beth. It's not like we're trying to be teachers or anything. We just want to learn more. Have you taken your ships to the cartel?
Anything you need to know, you can always ask me.
Hmm?
Be happy to answer any questions. You know that, right?
Of course.
Good. My turn with the car.
Passage to memorize.
Anything that would get me started. To make up for lost time.
No, Matthew, you didn't lose any time. It just got rearranged. Gaining it all back now.
But in the meantime, I want to understand the same things you do. And everyone else.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Look, that's it!
Ah, Caesarea Philippi. My namesake.
Really?
No. Philip the Tetrarch, brother of Herod Antipas. Family that does not take kindly to my former rabbi.
Why?
Well, John criticizes them for things like killing their own sons and marrying their own nieces, things like this.
I suppose he should.
Welcome to the Empire. Of course, you should know more about this than any of us. No offense. I'm going to go up ahead. Passage to memorize. I'll work on this.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of that scene?
Well, okay. Going back to the women, you know, they're walking and talking about learning Torah and everything, and they ask Matthew what they should study. They want to get advice from him, plus they want to borrow a tablet so Mary can teach Rhema, her name is, how to read and write so they can study. Like I said before, is that just a feminist nod? Because I don't even know if any Jewish man would even go along with that, but, you know, that's just my thinking on that. And then Matthew tells them he's going to ask Philip what's a good thing to study rather than asking Jesus, which is weird. You've got the Word made flesh there with you, but you're going to ask Philip what you should study? And then the last thing is that last little scene or little bit when Matthew walks off to go talk to Philip, and then Thomas comes up and this little scene is exactly what we've been saying about these ladies, that they wouldn't even be here, because Thomas is seeing her talking Rhema, the girl that he is with or that he brought.
Right.
He's seeing her talking to Matthew, and he's getting jealous. Like, what's this? So he walks up as soon as Matthew leaves to find out, you know, what's this? And
right.
it's a reason why they wouldn't be there, because the Lord would not put all of these folks in this position to be a stumbling block to one another, I don't believe. The ladies would be at home most of the time, and sometimes they would come around whenever Jesus was in the area where they lived, because the Bible talks about how they served him and gave of their means, and then we know about Mary and Martha. So if they wanted to learn, sitting at Jesus' feet would be all that they would need, like Jesus told Mary and Martha, I would think. But the whole scene is like, as the world turns, first century style or something. It's just ridiculous. So what say you, brother?
Listen, I'm looking at this episode, and of course time has elapsed. We're way out of time. I'm looking at this, and I just can't believe the nonsensical portrayal of a band of Jesus' followers. The women should not be there at all. At all. Please. And again, Matthew, Nathaniel, Philip, Peter, Big John, John, Big James. This is, again, created out of thin air. Created just, you know, none of this that we saw for the last 2 hours, or, you know, what we've been discussing, none of it can you find in the Bible.
None
of it. You cannot copy scripture. That's not the way. Those scrolls were holy. They were considered, you know, and not, listen,
only
not
certain
only were they
people
holy,
got to look at them.
Right, and they were expensive to produce.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All of this is like, okay, let's,
even,
you know.
Even to this day, they're valued like that. They're not just like any other scroll, even to this
correct.
Day, when you go
correct.
Into those synagogues.
This is just, this. None of this, again, I guess for the illiterate, and for the person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, this is wonderful. And this is, you know, because, I guess today, with so much church hurt, I guess today people are just trying to find, a group of people they can belong to. And I guess they look at this, you know, these misfits here, mm-hmm. and they say, well, you know, I can identify
yeah.
with a Matthew, or I can identify with a
yeah.
Mary Magdalene. But
that's exactly what's happening.
Right. But other than that, nothing. This is just pure stupid. This is stupid on steroids. And I know that Dallas, it'll hurt his feelings to hear that because he's thin-skinned.
Right.
But it's just, you know, and if they think this is exciting, I'm here, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I can't believe that they actually produced this half-hour show. This is, again, worthless.
Yeah.
Worthless. So you, my sister, have the last word. We'll pick this up next week. But great show as always.
Thank you. And, well, just thank you for listening. And know that we love you. And we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Nicole.